Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
There is an ancient adage that says that God works in mysterious ways. Well, to many in the environmental community, God appeared to work in mysterious ways, as those who claimed a personal relationship to God through Jesus shunned the environmental movement in ways often painful and certainly confusing. But something's changing, and in a moment, we find out the what and the why of the new greening of the cross of Jesus when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News. During the next two segments, we're going to take a gentle and meaningful path to common ground, as this environmentalist with Christian roots meets a Christian who has been led to change his life to serve the earth and the living in the service to his God. We welcome people of all traditions and hope this may help in mending the uncomfortable gulf between us. In the true spirit of compassion for all the living gift and wonder, we dedicate the following to our common path to peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. Those of us who've been working so hard to care for this earth and take care of the critters and the systems, the living systems, it's a daunting task, because as so many people recognize right now, the earth is going through a series of crises, whether it's global warming, mass extinction. There's a lot of people working very hard to help. One of the frustrations has been that there's been a tug of war amongst a certain, what some people refer to as the Christian right, and there's been sort of a mysterious challenge by the Christian right, almost in opposition to the environmental movement, and that's been complex, frustrating, and for many people just a little bit difficult to comprehend for various reasons. Well, one of the things that's happening is the fact that there is now an emerging, very active environmental movement that's spreading within the churches, and no better place for it to happen. Joining us right now is someone who's very much central to what's going on. I'm so pleased to have Dr. Matthew Sleet joining us here on the Wild Side News. Dr. Sleet, welcome to the Wild Side News.
Thanks for having me here.
Dr. Sleet, you have a new book out called Serve God, Save the Planet, A Christian Call to Action. There's a lot of people who are saying, thank God. Tell us a little bit what led up to your writing this book.
Well, my background, my doctor degree stands for, if I'm somewhere and you fall down dead, I try to resuscitate you. So it's medical doctor. And some of this got started by noticing a great increase in the prevalence of certain diseases, which I can attribute to nothing other than a degradation in the environment. For instance, when I started medicine, the breast cancer rate in this country was 1 in 19. When I decided I need to quit medicine and work full-time on saving the planet, the breast cancer rate was 1 in 9. I've been told by a number of oncologists who walked up to me recently, it's 1 in 7.
So what you're witnessing is a dramatic change in our health, based on your, because you are a scientist, based on changes in the environment. That probably is your conclusion.
Correct. And I see similar increases in the prevalence of disease in asthma and immune reactions. And in checking with friends who are veterinarians, they were witnessing the same thing in animals which live with humans, i.e. cats and dogs. They were noticing the same increase in immune responses and death due to cancer. If you're a scientist, you like to look for corroborating evidence somewhere, and that certainly was just that.
But how does this translate, then, into a Christian perspective?
Well, I went to the Bible and looked at what the Bible had to say about this. Incidentally, I think I have to give a disclaimer. For most of my life, I would have been called just a scientific thinker or a secular humanist, and I came to faith later in life. And when I did that, I rethought everything. Was the music I was listening to, was that spiritually good for me? Was the art I had on the wall, were the books I was reading, things that I should be? And I went through a process of really reflecting on everything I was doing, and how was I parenting, and what kind of husband was I being. And the issue of environmental stewardship was one that I puzzled on, because it was something I had believed most of my life. I grew up in a farming area. I grew up with environmental awareness, it would be called. And then I looked around in this new group that I was with all the time, and no one seemed to be very interested or perhaps even hostile. And I wondered, well, just is my theology bad here? So I went to the Bible to have a see what the Bible had to say. And what I found amazed me was, and that was that the Bible starts off about life, starts with the tree of life, ends with trees of life, and that God is in the life business, and in the Bible, God values what he makes. Us, a bird, the Bible says that the Lord groans when a sparrow falls out of the sky. And I realized what we had done was, and only within the last 100 years in the church, was to make God into our own image as a kind of a corporate CEO, just interested in the bottom line. And that's not what I found in the Bible. And that's one of the things that people who believe in the Bible find so special, is that you have this immutable instruction manual about God and about how we ought to live. And in that manual, I found thousands of injunctions about just simply using things for our own wants. We're allowed to meet our needs, but not our wants. And so that's what got me started on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit, because I think a lot of people want to know, within your faith, within your community, what seemed to be the reason for the rejection, the turning against what otherwise is known as the environmental movement, tree huggers, etc. What help us understand that, because that is, I'm sure, what you had to come to terms with yourself.
Sure. I think there's maybe about three issues that caused this great divide between people of orthodox faith or very conservative faith and concern, and folks who are concerned about environmental issues. One is that about 100 years ago, as far as I can see, we really began to come off the farm, and we began to not have a direct relationship with the food that we grew. Up until that time, you look in religious art, you look in sermons, you look in hymns, and you see things like, for the beauty of the earth, and this is my father's world, and America is beautiful, and it goes on and on, that people believe, people of faith believe, that the earth was a gift from the Lord. But I believe that it was a separation that happened to everyone, not just people of faith, that we begin to think that there was no mystery in all of this life. And that maybe materialism was a better thing. And another thing that happened in more recent times, I believe, is that people who were, for instance, pro-environment, bundled the issue, other issues, which Christians found totally unacceptable. It's kind of like when in 1970, let's say, if you wanted to go to a car dealer and you wanted the car red and you wanted air conditioning, but you didn't want power windows, you could order all that. But it became bundled. If you got the power windows, you had to have the air conditioning. And the issues that got bundled with care of the earth, stewardship, were unacceptable to people who took their Bibles literally.
And I tend to absolutely agree with you that that was the turning point where things got very complex. I talk about that all the time. Could you be more specific? Because I think it's important for us to really make these distinctions, because that will help us to understand and separate these important issues.
Well, I think a third issue, and I'll wrap back to the,
fine.
A third issue is that people who were scientific were often seen as people hostile to religion. And if you read books by Carl Sagan, for instance, who's kind of a very popular science advocate, they're very hostile to religion. And they're hostile to people who believe in the Lord. And I have found that the hardest way to win somebody over in any argument is to walk up and say, "You're stupid, and you need to change and be like me." So those kind of three conditions set up a division, which many people found it impossible to cross. And when given the choice of being pro-environment or standing by their church and their belief in the Bible, they chose to stand by their church and belief in the Bible. Because if they joined with the other side, they were not welcome even.
That's right. And by the way, I think you're absolutely right on. I think those are all really valid perspectives.
I'll give you an example. Sometimes I walk into a church which would be called very conservative or fundamental, and people are quite hostile to things environmental. They may not believe that there's global warming or any problems, or if they are, they have no role in trying to address them. And they'll change extremely rapidly. As I speak to you, I'm borrowing a hybrid Prius from a friend for 2 weeks who was in one of those churches. And and everyone in the church, right then, right there, after talking for a few hours, went and changed all their light bulbs to compact fluorescents. 4 people in that church have bought hybrid cars. But when I walked in and started talking, nothing. No acceptance of things environmental. And I've gone back and I've kind of asked, well, why did you change? Or why? And it was because they said, nobody ever told me. And a lot of people would say, well, you must have had your head under a rock, right? How could you not know about global warming? No one told them in the language they speak. And I learned this in medicine. I learned a language of science. I learned a language of physiology and pharmacology and biochemistry. But when somebody came in with a bleeding ulcer, I didn't start talking medicalese, or I left them behind. Didn't mean they were a stupid person. They just didn't speak my language. I had to speak theirs. And I think that's been part of what's driven the divide, and I think that's probably what will, when we speak each other's language, I believe that's what will build a bridge between what has traditionally been an environmental world and traditionally a conservative Christian world.
Mm-hmm. From my perspective, because I've analyzed this quite a bit, I think, and this is where particularly during the 60s and 70s, I think the change really happened, is that the environmental movement, which actually started out as by old conservative men a lot during the 50s, was part of something that was very American, and everything felt right. But unfortunately, as you say, and the bundling is exactly the right term, the environmental movement got bundled with the anti-war movement, which became bundled with women's rights and gay rights and just a whole series of different things that certain people within the faith community would definitely have a difficult time with. And as you say, the unbundling, then I mean, as well, to be perfectly frank, the environmental movement was somewhat dominated by quote-unquote hippies who looked like Christ and spoke about peace and love, but as well were actively involved in smoking pot, and there was the concept of a free love movement, and all of these things became extremely difficult to sort out and became very threatening. And it was difficult to become an environment, to remain a Christian. It was just a process of association that took years to, and I think we're finally beginning to sort this out. Is it part of what you're discussing?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You said it perfectly.
Yes. So, I mean, we just have to be honest about these things. But what's amazing to me is the fact that from a Christian perspective, I mean, if we look back biblically, you know, God created the heavens and the earth. I think part of the challenge that Christians have, and again, I'd like for you to define when, in terms of what you're referencing to your the faith-based or the Christian community, or as some might even say, the conservative Christian community. Who are we talking about here? Because I know many, many Christians who don't feel this sort of perspective on the environment, but there seems to be some within the Christian community that have been bundled in, another way of bundling, with another side of a political movement, and let's discuss that to some extent.
Well, as I go about the country talking, half the time in secular settings, half the time in faith settings, conservative faith settings, I find... this is going to seem like I'm dodging the issue, but I find that the labels don't work very well. I find that there are people who advertise themselves as being extremely concerned about the environment who go home and live a life with as heavy a footprint as you can imagine. I find that there's people who say they could care less about global warming who go home and grow their own food and only travel 3,000 miles a year and use 100 kilowatt hours of electricity a month. And vice versa. And I found that the labels don't work really well. If you're looking at the world only in a binary sense, that is, that every 4 years you pull one or two labels, then the only way you see the world is as a binary thing. And I found that biologic systems, humans, faith, is much more complicated than that. So I'm not dodging, I don't believe it's accurate to lump people. The reason being that I see very rapid change on the part of what would be called very conservative churches about the issues of stewardship. One thing I do is bring with me a 120-year-old Nelson Study Bible and just flip it open to the 45 pages on caring for plants and animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree.
And I introduced the fact that this is not new theology, it's orthodox theology to take care of these things and to value them.
Well, of course, I guess what I'm trying to address, because we're, as again, heading into this 3 weeks from now is another election, and
right.
Certainly there has been a lot of talk about how the faith-based, that's what I'm trying to understand here better, is this concept of politically, it's being discussed as the faith-based community is somehow associated with the right wing, which is associated with the George Bush administration. Without getting too political, but I'd like to understand this better, which as well, it's no secret, has not been a friend to the environment. Somehow, we need to unbundle that as well. And that's what you're in the process of really doing, is really trying
right,
to open this up.
Somebody says, you know, I really care about the environment, and I'm going to go out to Telluride and cross-country ski, and somebody says, I don't care about it at all, and I'm going to snowmobile. They can each point the finger at each other. And I will tell you that there are people in the conservative church who are very good at seeing hypocrisy of the other side, and that's a problem. We're all very capable of that. And one of the things my faith tells me is that's human nature. Christ talks about being able to see the speck. Actually, it was a mote, meaning a dust mote in somebody else's eye, while not being able to see the beam or the 2x4. I think it's almost a little humor on his part in our own eye, and it's obscuring our vision. So because I talk to groups that would, I'm guess, vote all Democratic and groups that I would guess vote all Republican, what I say is that this issue transcends politics. And I look forward to the day, it may not be this election, but the next one, when the politicians are trying to outdo each other for who can clean up the earth the fastest.
So where are we going? We continue this special dialogue when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Peace, 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 I can hear the bugle sounding, roaming around my land, my city and my town. Peace, 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 I can hear the voices ringing louder while my bugle calls for peace.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.